Every spring, Barcelona hosts the Human Rights Film Festival. This year, the 10th festival took place between the 16th and the 26th of May 2013, and according to the initial program, it was to be presented by Baltasar Garzón Real and was meant to include the screening of the documentary film Black Ink concerning the Garzón case and Francoist crimes. However, faced with the persistent complaints from groups such as the Coordinating Committee for the Prevention and Denunciation of Torture, the organizers of the contest decided not to go ahead with this program and vetoed the participation of the former judge of the National Court. The Human Rights Film Festival takes place every year in Barcelona, New York, and Paris, and it was announced that the 2013 edition would open in the Girona cinemas with the screening of the documentary by Sebastián Arabia, Black Ink, with the special appearance of the main character in the film, the former judge Baltasar Garzón, internationally recognized for his struggle against human rights violations. The invitation to the former judge caused shock and resulted in complaints from numerous human rights and civil liberties organizations, who could not understand how a festival for human rights, which had been recognized by UNESCO through the International Coalition of Cities Against Racism, could admit someone with a record such as that of Baltasar Garzón. The judge is not held in high esteem in Catalonia, where he is remembered above all for activities such as the 1992 operation against pro-independent militants, also known as the Garzón Operation, or the persecution, detention, and torture of youths and Torà, a municipality in the province of Lleida, Catalonia, in 2003. The cases of torture condemned by the United Nations and the Council of Europe, and which took place against individuals in the legal custody of the Central Investigating Court, over which he presided as a judge, are not the only cases which put in doubt the public image of Baltasar Garzón as a human rights defender. On the 16th of February 2012, a number of Colombian organizations from areas of armed conflict consisting of various communities of victims of crimes committed by the state through paramilitary operations or by its own security forces sent a letter to Colombian President Juan Manuel Santos protesting against the position given to Baltasar Garzón as advisor to the Organization of American States mission to support the peace process in Colombia. In this letter, these communities of serious human rights violations objected to the illegal measures which the former judge Baltasar Garzón used to carry out investigations or persecutions, as also used by the DAS and the current Colombian security and intelligence bodies. They also stated, "It is a matter of great sadness to us that from its inception, Baltasar Garzón endorsed the process of paramilitary re-engineering, known as demobilization, implemented within the democratic security policies of Álvaro Uribe Vélez, claiming that it was a model of justice. His role as advisor in the peace process within the Santos administration did not redirect the process. Today, paramilitarism, together with the state security forces, is conducting the territorial and social control linked to the development of agribusiness, infrastructure works, and the activities of the extractive industry. This terrible situation goes on because of the inaction of Baltasar Garzón within the peace process, who, in his recommendations, failed to propose that the victims have access to truth, justice, and reparation. In addition to this is the well-known role played by the former judge in the design and defense of the so-called Law of Justice and Peace in Colombia, a law of impunity principally for the serious human rights crimes committed by the paramilitary. In Spain, the violation of the right to a defense committed when he ordered the recording of conversations between lawyers and their clients resulted in his conviction by the Supreme Court and his subsequent removal from the judiciary. In the case brought against Garzón, known as the New York Payments, he was charged with bribery for soliciting and receiving significant funds from Spanish companies and banks whilst in judicial office to organize conferences and events in New York, where the judge spent a sabbatical year between 2005 and 2006. The evidence in the case confirms the sums received by the judge and that on his return from New York, he went on to close a case filed with the National Court against the president of the Bank of Santander, Emilio Botín, instead of recusing himself from the case, given his relationship with the president of the bank and the fact that he had received funds from the president to finance several courses and conferences during his sabbatical year. The case against Garzón was ultimately closed by the Supreme Court on February 13, 2012, following the procedural machinations carried out as part of the legal strategy for the defense of Emilio Botín, who was involved in the payment of funds to the judge. A conviction of the judge for these acts would inevitably have had criminal repercussions for Emilio Botín, so it was important from the perspective of the defense of the latter that these acts should be declared time-barred. A parallel complaint before the Supreme Court against Emilio Botín also ended in the closing of that case by the criminal chamber of the Supreme Court on January 4, 2012, on the grounds that the case was time-barred. During his stay in New York, Baltazar Garzón attempted to involve the U.S. intelligence community in an international coordination effort against terrorism, submitting a proposal on this topic entitled Terrorism and Security, Coordination and Cooperation. Amongst those contacted by the judge to take part in the debates he organized were the United States Director of Intelligence, John Negroponte, known mostly for his participation in the Iran-Contras affair and his role in the campaigns of extermination carried out by the Argentinian army and the CIA in Honduras, El Salvador, and Guatemala during the 1980s. This has been confirmed by the documentary evidence submitted in the New York payments case by the companies involved in financing the judge's activities, primarily CESPA, Compañía Española de Petroles, S.A., and Banco Santander, S.A. Returning to the 10th Human Rights Film Festival in Barcelona, numerous groups wrote to the festival organizers to demand explanations for their decision and the withdrawal of Garzón as a presenter of the event, maintaining that his presence was inappropriate in a competition with a human rights focus. Specifically, the Catalonian Coordinating Committee for the Prevention and Denunciation of Torture wrote a letter to Tony Navarro, the director of the festival, on 30th of April 2013, asking the organizers to reconsider their invitation to the former judge to inaugurate the opening session of the competition and the screening of the documentary in which Garzón is the leading protagonist and which forms part of the judge's public relations campaign. The Catalonian Coordinating Committee Against Torture is made up of 14 groups who work in human rights and in particular work to denounce and prevent torture and other forms of cruel, inhuman, and degrading treatment. It unites Action by Christians for the Abolition of Torture, Alerta Solidaria, Alert Solidarity, Centro Exil, the Catalonian Association for the Defense of Human Rights, the Association Memory Against Torture, the Stop Rubber Bullets Action, the General Workers' Confederation, CGT, the Defense Commission of the Barcelona College of Lawyers, the Human Rights Commission of the Girona College of Lawyers, the Cornea Coordinating Committee Against Marginalization, Justice and Peace, the University of Barcelona Observatory on the Penal System and Human Rights, Rescue, and SOS Racism Catalonia. In the letter, the Coordinating Committee Against Torture argued that, as torture and cruel treatment were among the unresolved matters of the human rights agenda in Spain, it was remarkable that the inauguration of the conference should be attended by the former judge Baltazar Garzón, a person who has been challenged for many reasons by the great majority of human rights groups in Spain. They also mentioned the fact that the judge presided over various cases against persons who were victims of torture and not only did nothing at all to investigate the facts, but used the detainees' statements that had been obtained under torture to formulate criminal cases against them. This conduct amounts to concealment of torturers. The letter also explained to the festival organizers that the European Court of Human Rights of Strasbourg in 2004 found that the state of Spain was guilty for not investigating torture suffered by the independence activists who were arrested in 1992 in the course of an operation named Operation Garzón. It adds that, unfortunately, torture was and is a reality here, and the National Court and its judges had and have a particular responsibility given the solitary confinement in which those arrested for crimes of terrorism were held. The former UN Special Rapporteur on Torture, Mr. Theo van Boven, had already pointed out in his report on Spain in 2002 that holding detainees in incommunicado detention constitutes in itself a form of torture and affords the greatest opportunity to carry out torture with impunity. It went on to state that, "We are not in favor of legitimizing individuals with high media profiles whose behavior is not compatible with the objectives and essence of the Coordinating Committee for the Prevention and Denunciation of Torture, which has always denounced the sorry role that the judiciary have played in the eradication of torture. As would be expected, the arguments from these entities were heeded by the organization, who announced a few days before the beginning of the festival that Baltazar Garzon would not be present at the 2013 event, and nor would the documentary be screened at the festival. This change of plan has undoubtedly helped to avoid any loss of prestige by the festival, which this year has welcomed, among others, the platform for those affected by the subprime mortgage crisis and the Stop Rubber Bullets Collective. However, in the cinema and human rights cycle organized by Abyssin and Amnesty International in the Spanish city of Albacete, a different position was taken, and the film Black Ink was screened on the 5th of June 2013. According to Up Cinema, the distributors of this film, this production of Off Cinema includes among its protagonists Carlos Jiménez Villarejo, former anti-corruption prosecutor, Carlos Slepoy and José Antonio Martín Payín, former Supreme Court prosecutor. Carlos Jiménez Villarejo and José Antonio Martín Payín are noteworthy for their intellectual contribution and public moral support for the law known as the Law of Memory, developed and passed by the previous socialist government as a means of socio-political containment of the problem of impunity in Spain and the crimes of Franco. None of the provisions of this law have any penal consequence, and it fails to recognize in law the victims of the Franco regime, to the extent that it grants no more than archaeological significance to the remains of republicans and those persons who were executed pursuant to the systematic political persecution implemented under Francoism. These actions have served only to aggravate the problem, which is quite simply the result of the lack of ethical, moral, and legal responsibility of the parliamentary political groups who supported the law of historical memory. The law not only offers no legislative solution to the principal issues concerning the victims of Francoism, but leaves the victims and their families in a position of utter defenselessness. Furthermore, it seeks to distance them from European history and from the solutions in this subject that were adopted by other countries who endured fascist or national socialist regimes. Carlos Slepoy Prada, who according to the media is heading the case concerning Francoist crimes in Buenos Aires, vigorously opposed both publicly and within the legal proceedings the arrest of the Argentinian Navy captain Adolfo Silingo. This is evidenced at the commencement of the investigation and later during the oral trial. The arrest of Adolfo Silingo made it possible for the so-called Argentinian case in Spain to reach a stage of oral trial and to finally obtain a judgment. The opposition of Carlos Slepoy to the legal process was due to the fact that he was seeking to halt the testimony of Adolfo Silingo with respect to the actions of the collaborators at the Navy Mechanics School, the ESMA, such as Juan Alberto Casperini, and others, an objective which he actively pursued until the end of the proceedings. Throughout the duration of the proceedings, Carlos Slepoy opposed the representation and existence of Spanish victims of the Argentinian dictatorship in an attempt to avoid the legal recognitions of these victims and the consolidation of jurisdiction over the issue by the Spanish courts. Once the judgment convicting Adolfo Silingo for crimes against humanity had been issued, Slepoy announced that he would appeal the decision and went on to do so, as Equiponisco documented online. Slepoy's opposition to the application of the criminal classification of crimes against humanity in the Silingo case is unambiguously reflected in the provisional and final indictments he filed in the case. He makes no reference to international law save for a passing allusion to genocide, one of the grounds he uses, along with the lawyers for other accusing parties in the trial, to appeal against the judgment for crimes against humanity. Just as it was for Judge Baltazar Garzon during the investigation phase of the Argentinian case, his use of the criminal classification of genocide during the trial of Silingo constituted, in strictly legal terms, an enormous risk for two principal reasons. Firstly, the persecution and extermination of the opponents of the Argentinian military juntas, and specifically those of Spanish origin, were carried out for political motives, which are not included in the definition of genocide, and therefore the acts did not contain the necessary criminal elements of that crime. Secondly, there was no valid evidence at all that would allow for the conclusion that the military regime carried out executions motivated by reasons of racial, ethnic, or religious discrimination, all because the victims were members of a national group rather than a political one. The attempt to establish the existence of genocide, as the term is used, amounts to concealment of the true motives for which the victims were persecuted and exterminated. To maintain this position, as the legal team of Equipo Nisco explained in their analysis, would have the result of depriving the classification of crimes against humanity of its substance and at the same time would preserve the impunity of those responsible for the crimes, given that it would be impossible to meet the elements required by law to establish the commission of genocide, the mens rea, the intent, and the specific actus reus. In view of this, in April 2010, Radio Niscor published an editorial as an explanatory note to the press about the criminal complaint submitted in Argentina and the statements made by Carlos Slipoy that the relatives of the victims of the Francisco Franco's dictatorship will appear before the Argentinian courts in reliance on universal jurisdiction and will file a complaint alleging genocide in that country. This note, prepared solely on the basis of judicial documents, was published to address the moral obligation to properly inform the relatives and the associations of victims of the Francoist repression. Yet again, in this public relations exercise, we see the same protagonists who support the model of Spanish impunity of which so-called law of memory forms part. But in this year's Human Rights Film Festival in Barcelona, they have not been able to mock the ethic which is inherent in the defense and promotion of human rights. For further information on human rights and the question of torture in Spain, you can visit Equipo Nisco's related web pages. At our online Human Rights Documentation Center, you will also find the full text of the main documents referred to in this program, especially those related to the legal proceedings in Spain regarding Judge Garzón, as well as the documents pertaining to the Adolfo Silingo case. This program has been produced by Radio Nisco at our studios in Belgium on July 12, 2013.